1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. A regional jetliner and a military Black Hawk helicopter collided midair at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport.
The American Airlines regional jet was inbound from Wichita, Kansas, and on final approach to Reagan National when it collided with the helicopter over the Potomac. Video shows a brief flash and then smoke. Rescuers were immediately dispatched. Divers were said to be pulling people out of the frigid water. Some 60 people were reported to have been on the regional jet.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
The problem with this time of year is obviously the water is quite cold. There is ice on the Potomac most of the way up towards the Key Bridge. And so getting anybody that is still alive out of the water quickly is going to be the real key for the fire department here.
ABC News contributor Steve Ganyard is a former Marine aviator. No numbers currently on casualties or survivors. This is ABC News. Investors were thrown into a tizzy this week with a Chinese company's claim it developed a much less expensive artificial intelligence model.
OpenAI and Microsoft are reportedly investigating whether DeepSeek improperly used OpenAI's model to train its own. But the New York Times is currently suing OpenAI for violating copyright law by using Times articles to train its AI model. UCLA law professor John Villasenor says that makes it tough for OpenAI to make a copyright argument against DeepSeek.
Advancing that argument would directly undermine the arguments they have made as defendants in some of these copyright claims.
Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Labor and maritime organizations reporting a doubling in the past 3 years in the number of ships abandoned by their owners. 230 ships last year, according to the Associated Press, leaving more than 3,000 workers stuck on board without pay or the means to get home. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the Badgers and the Terrapins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers are at the University of Maryland tonight to take on the Terrapins, named after the Diamondback Terrapins, a small turtle found around Chesapeake Bay. It's been their mascot since 1933. Now, six of the Badgers' next eight games are on the road, but Greg Gard says it. No big deal.
We'll have some nice box meals for us, I'm sure, turn in when we fly to Maryland, stay in a good hotel. Right? There's much more difficult things in life. I don't think it's a big deal. Go play. Where do they want us to play next? All right, we'll be there.
Number 9th ranked Marquette on the road last night, beating Butler 78-69. NBA, the Bucks losing again in Portland, 125-117. Milwaukee simply could not stop the Trailblazers.
I thought they got what they wanted all game, honestly. I never thought we established any kind of defensive presence throughout the game.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny and possible record highs in areas tomorrow to the mid-50s. And sunshine continues on Friday, a high of 40 to 45. Maybe some rain and snow this weekend. It's 28 degrees right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wednesday, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking all things RFK Jr. confirmation hearings. And of course, there's day two tomorrow. Ugh. I don't know how much more of his BS I can take. It's pretty terrible. I myself have had an afternoon of misspeaks, and I want to thank my friend Lou Ann and Wanderoos, as well as Eric in Wauwatosa. Who else? A couple of other people let me know. I keep saying that Caroline Kennedy was RFK's sister. She's not. They're cousins. And I also then, of course, misspoke and said RFK was a president's son. He was a presidential candidate's son, a U.S. attorney general's son, and the nephew of, course, JFK. Huh. Some days just the mouth and the brain don't work so good together. I appreciate everybody letting me know. Also want to give a little bit of love. Matt from Middleton texting in this. Trump's second term is the end of American leadership and favor in the world. Europe and Latin America are talking to China now. Were the eggs, are they worth decades of decline and isolation? I don't think so, Matt. And I think the American public is going to get smart real quick about what Donald Trump actually stands for. You know, we look at RFK's nomination, of course, within the context of Trump's withdrawal from the World Health Organization, pulling back from the climate accords, you know, his denigration of NATO on a near daily basis, the fact that he derides the United Nations. In all of these sectors, right, whether you're talking about pure diplomacy, or you're talking about diplomacy to achieve better world and public health outcomes, to stop the next COVID outbreak or make it less lethal and deadly, whether we're talking about trying to keep foreign adversaries from stealing our nation's companies' secrets. All of this requires power and influence and the ability to apply leverage on a global scale, both amongst allies for their cooperation and support, both militarily, financially, and as a policy matter, but also with our adversaries. And the more the U.S. retreats into this old saw of isolationism, the more the greater a vacuum is created in all of those sectors, in the world diplomatic order itself. And as nature abhors a vacuum, that vacuum will be filled by some of our most powerful adversaries that themselves command great amount of natural resources and or political influence, geopolitical dominance in certain of the world's areas that are seeing very consistent unrest, as well as vast amounts of natural resources and economic might and power. Who might that be? Well, in no particular order, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. Yes, North Korea is deprived of natural resources, but it has a nuclear arsenal, right? Like, this doesn't work for American interests, either in the medium or long term. Might feel good short term, but it will not work. And abandoning our role as an international and global leader, whether it comes to science and technology, addressing climate change, diplomacy, the project of peace and human dignity in the world, all of this, or of course, public health and the World Health Organization, all of this makes us more vulnerable, not stronger, despite what the pseudo-strongman may tell you. Thanks so much for that comment, Matt from Middleton. I really appreciate it. Steve from Milwaukee chiming in. Russia's already eyeing Alaska. Yeah, well, if Trump can, you know, take Greenland and rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, why wouldn't Russia start eyeing additional territories, maybe even territories that include, you know, some of Alaska? Of course, I would expect that to be met with military might. But again, if Donald Trump has no respect for sovereign borders and boundaries, why should any other country? Let's get back to RFK. I wanted to share a bit of Elizabeth Warren's Q&A. This still sits in what I'm going to call pillar one of my set of objections to RFK. She absolutely housed him today on conflicts of interest. And frankly, the fact that RFK is getting richer off of his vaccine mumbo jumbo. Let's take a listen to cut 17.
But you and I both know there's another way to make money. So, Mr. Kennedy, will you also agree that you won't take any compensation from any lawsuits against drug companies while you are secretary and for 4 years afterwards?
Well, I'll certainly commit to that while I'm secretary. But I do want to clarify something, because you're making me sound like a shill. I put together that case. I did the Science Day presentation to the judge on that case to get it into court,
Mr.
the Daubert hearing.
Mr. Kennedy, it's just a really simple question. You've taken in $2.5 million. I want to know if you will commit right now that not only will you not go to work for drug companies, you won't go to work suing the drug companies and taking your rake out of that while you're a secretary and for 4 years after. It's just...
I'll commit to not taking any fees from drug companies while I'm secretary.
No, I'm asking about fees from suing drug companies. Will you agree not to do that?
You're asking me to not sue drug companies.
No,
and
no,
I'm not going to agree to that,
sue drug companies as much as you want.
I'm not going to agree to not sue drug companies or anybody.
What a jerk. Of course, that's not what she's saying. She's just saying, don't get rich off of it. Next cut, more of Elizabeth Warren putting RFK to the test.
Kennedy can kill off access to vaccines and make millions of dollars while he does it. Kids might die, but Robert Kennedy can keep cashing in.
Senator, I support vaccines. I support the childhood schedule. I will do that. The only thing I want is good science, and that's it.
Oh. How about then say you won't make money off what you do as Secretary of HHS?
Ah, yes. Let's explore that statement that I support vaccines and the childhood schedule, because this is pillar two. He's a liar and a con man and a grifter that's out for money and, of course, the attention and power. This is what he said when he was interviewed with John Stossel just a couple years ago. It's pretty basic. It's just a question, which he answers with absolute clarity. Let's take a listen, cut 21.
And you still say that autism is caused by vaccines?
Yeah, autism is caused by vaccines.
Yeah. So, were you lying then, sir, or are you lying now before Congress? Someone who says a blanket statement like autism is caused by vaccines has no business running the Department of Health and Human Services. And if it wasn't clear enough that this is all a big grift, Take a listen to this. Vaccines, yeah, don't do that for your kids, but of course, he did for his own.
Next if up. Your kids were young now, would you give them the measles, the mumps vaccine?
No.
Yeah, but they're not. And so that's not a real choice. He just gets to, you know, trot out more of his baloney. The guy doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't tell the truth about nearly anything, including the fact that he personally went to Samoa after an accident relating to the measles vaccine. It was an accident caused by human error. They knew exactly what happened, and two kids died as a result of a human error in putting together the vaccine compound. That happened in 2018. He then went to Samoa, invited there by a Samoan anti-vax activist. And he sat in meetings with anti-vax activists, one of whom said that those meetings were, quote, profoundly monumental for the anti-vaccine movement. He met with the prime minister of Samoa, and they discussed vaccines, which he confirmed. And after a measles outbreak occurred 4 months after his visit there, where 83 people died, many of whom were children and infants unvaccinated, he disclaimed any responsibility, moral or otherwise. But not only that, when that measles outbreak occurred, he sent a letter to the prime minister of Samoa, and in that letter claimed that the outbreak was caused by the measles vaccine itself. But let's take a listen to the garbage he was spewing today on Capitol Hill about his involvement in that Samoan tragedy in 2019.
I went there nothing to do with vaccines. I went there to introduce a medical informatics system. I would digitalize records in Samoa and make health delivery much more efficient. I never gave any public statement about vaccines. You cannot find a single Samoan who will say, I didn't get a vaccine because of Bobby Kennedy. I went in June of 2019. The measles outbreak started in August. Oh, clearly I had nothing to do with the measles.
Yeah, except you did. You stir up all the misinformation, all the lies, you create a hysteria, and people die, and then you say, well, no one would actually say they didn't get a vaccine because of Bobby Kennedy. They won't name check me. But you created the information environment and swamp that, of course, you profit off of, that allows these lies and hysteria to take hold. You, Mr. Kennedy, are responsible for the information swamp, this skepticism of vaccines, not single-handedly. There's many that are profiteering off of this. But now you want to lead the Department of Health and Human Services? I say, no siree. Folks, we're going to go back to the phones when we get back. Fred from Cottage Grove, I see you're going to be up next. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I also have what I can only consider to be an actual schooling of RFK today by Senator Bennett. I want to take more of your comments, texts, and questions. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back in just a flash.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. If you are rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the grifter, also known as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. His nomination hearings occurring today and will continue tomorrow. He's unfit by virtually any measure. I have three buckets. First bucket is he's morally unfit. Laundry list of things that just... No, you don't get this job. You don't get to be a screw-up for the vast majority of your life, do absolutely horrible things, respond without any sort of substance to meaningful allegations against you, and get to run, you know, public health in the United States. Not how it should work. Secondly, he peddles in dangerous lies to enrich himself and refuses to commit to even the most basic conflict of interest avoidance mechanisms, like not profiteering off of lawsuits against companies that he may be responsible for working with or potentially engaging enforcement actions against while you're DHHS secretary. Terrible. So let's go to the phones, 855-752-4842. Fred from Cottage Grove, thanks for your patience, sir. You're up next.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. No, I'm tired of the softball questions. They get an answer, but they don't follow up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like his cousin just mentioned, too, today or the other day that he's vaccinated his kids.
Yep.
But yet now he wouldn't do it again. But well, he's already done it.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, Fred. I completely take your point. I have a hard time watching Senate confirmation hearings because I'm screaming at the television. And I'm just going to say this. You notice how senators are really old. And I'm not an ageist. I think you can serve at absolutely any age. But some of them, it's clear if like the script that their staffers wrote in front of them, if it doesn't go exactly according to plan, they're not able to follow up. They're not able to counter the baloney and garbage that's getting thrown their way by some of these candidates. Now, some senators are quite good at it. Bernie Sanders, I think Elizabeth Warren followed up pretty well. And I think Senator Bennett did a capital job at this. Let's take a listen to this pointed questioning. I think more senators need to take a page out of Senator Bennett's book. Let's take a listen.
Say that COVID-19 was a genetically engineered bioweapon that targets black and white people, but spared Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese people.
I didn't say it was deliberately targeted. I just quoted an NIH-funded, an NIH-published study.
Did you say that it targets black and white people but spared Ashkenazi Jews?
I quoted a study, Your Honor. I quoted an NIH study that showed that.
I'll take that as a yes. I have to move on, Mr. I have to move on. Did you say that Lyme disease is highly likely a materially engineered bioweapon? I made sure I put in the highly likely. Did you say Lyme disease is a highly likely militarily engineered bioweapon?
I probably did say that.
Did you say that?
And that's what the developer of Lyme
disease said. I want all of our colleagues to hear it, Mr. Kennedy. I want them to hear it. You said yes. Did you say that exposure to pesticides causes children to become transgender?
No, I never said that.
Okay, I have the record that I'll give to the chairman, and he can make his judgment about what you said. Did you write in your book, and it's undeniable, that African AIDS is an entirely different disease from Western AIDS? Yes or no, Mr. Kennedy?
I'm not sure if I made that.
Okay, I'll give it to the chairman, Mr. Kennedy, and my final question. Did you say on a podcast, and I quote, I wouldn't leave it, abortion, to the states. My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have the government involved, even if it's full term. Did you say that, Mr. Kennedy?
Senator, I believe that every abortion is a tragedy.
Did you say it, Mr. Kennedy?
This matters.
It doesn't matter what you come here and say that isn't true, that's not reflective of what you really believe, that you haven't said over decade after decade after decade, because unlike other jobs we're confirming around this place, this is a job where it is life and death.
Yeah. Senator Bernie Sanders also asked the nominee a number of questions about his flip-flop on his stance relating to abortion, which was apparently some sort of epiphany he stumbled over after Donald Trump trounced his ass in a few primaries, and he decided all of a sudden that maybe trying to angle for an appointment in the next Trump administration would be his best shot at what? More grift, more attention, and more power. For shame. He's a noted AIDS denialist. This is part of it, that there's these different strains of AIDS. The man has no shame. Has no shame. And he had the audacity today to literally lie repeatedly about the things that he's said in the past and claims to now be pro-vaccine, to support the childhood vaccination schedule, though he has done everything in his power for the last decade plus to undermine that very vaccination schedule, to sow and create more doubt in the minds of Americans and people globally over vaccines that have saved hundreds of millions of lives. He is unfit by any measure to be the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And it's also kind of interesting. You know that guy, Rupert Murdoch, that owns Fox News? He also thinks that RFK is unfit to serve as the DHHS Secretary. I can't believe I'm going to say this, and please don't quote me out of context, but on that point, I agree with Rupert Murdoch. And with that, folks, we're going to turn a page because it is Wednesday. It is hump day. And on hump day is at 3:30. I've got a great segment called Over the Hump and Trump, because we all need a break from the politics. We're going to take one of those breaks. We come back in our next segment with my very good friend and chef extraordinaire, Gregory Leone from Amelinda here in Milwaukee. He's been nominated for most outstanding chef in the U.S. We're going to talk to Greg and about how food brings us together when we come back after these brief messages here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. A regional jetliner and a military Black Hawk helicopter collided midair at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport.
The American Airlines regional jet was inbound from Wichita, Kansas, and on final approach to Reagan National when it collided with the helicopter over the Potomac. Video shows a brief flash and then smoke. Rescuers were immediately dispatched. Divers were said to be pulling people out of the frigid water. Some 60 people were reported to have been on the regional jet.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
The problem with this time of year is obviously the water is quite cold. There is ice on the Potomac most of the way up towards the Key Bridge. And so getting anybody that is still alive out of the water quickly is going to be the real key for the fire department here.
ABC News contributor Steve Ganyard is a former Marine aviator. No numbers currently on casualties or survivors. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Badgers and the Terrapins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers are at the University of Maryland tonight to take on the Terrapins, named after the Diamondback Terrapins, a small turtle found around Chesapeake Bay. It's been their mascot since 1933. Now, six of the Badgers' next eight games are on the road, but Greg Gard says it. No big deal.
We'll have some nice box meals for us, I'm sure, tonight when we fly to Maryland, stay in a good hotel. Right? There's much more difficult things in life. I don't think it's a big deal. Go play. Where do they want us to play next? All right, we'll be there.
Number 9th ranked Marquette on the road last night, beating Butler 78-69. NBA, the Bucks losing again in Portland, 125-117. Milwaukee simply could not stop the Trailblazers.
I thought they got what they wanted all game, honestly. I never thought we established any kind of defensive presence throughout the game.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Night Agent is a show we've talked about periodically on Nightlight. The second season just dropped on Netflix, and lots of people seem to be finding it. The spy drama drew 14 million viewers in its first 5 days, and according to TheWrap.com, landed in the top 10 most viewed shows in 90 countries. The plot finds an FBI agent sitting in a room in the basement of the White House monitoring a phone that supposedly never rings, until it does, and a conspiracy unfolds. Great premise, and a pretty good show. If you like heist films, you might enjoy the film Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Gerard Butler is back playing Big Nick, an L.A. County Sheriff's detective, in the follow-up to the first Den of Thieves from 2018. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also back as bad guy Donnie Wilson, trying to evade Big Nick, who tracks him across Europe. Jackson's character disappeared at the end of Den of Thieves 1, leaving the story ripe for sequel. The film could be 15 minutes shorter, but does deliver with some high-speed thrills and gunfights through beautiful settings in Europe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 20s. And mostly sunny and possible record highs in areas tomorrow to the mid-50s. And sunshine continues on Friday, a high of 40 to 45. Maybe some rain and snow this weekend.
It's 28 degrees right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
kids are starving in Japan, so eat it. Just eat it.
Ah, yes, everybody. It is Wednesday. It is 3:30, and so it is time for Over the Hump and Trump. I kicked off the year sharing with you all some of my intentions, because I don't do resolutions. Those never get done, and then I feel shame and guilt about it, and that doesn't help anybody, least of which me. My intentions for the year: to move more, connect more, create more, play more, laugh more. There's one other one I'm forgetting about. It'll come to me in a second. But in the spirit of creating and connecting more, one of the things that I love that always helps me to do exactly that is to eat food, cook it, enjoy it, and share it with friends. And I love to eat the food that my next guest makes for all of his guests at his amazing restaurant, Amelinda. His name is Gregory Leone. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Greg. Thanks so much for making time.
Hi, Maggie. Thanks for the invitation.
It's so nice to have you back, and we get to celebrate your most recent and second nomination by the James Beard Foundation for the National Outstanding Chef Award, which is wonderful. Your second year in a row being nominated for Outstanding Chef nationwide after 2 years best of nominations for Best Chef Midwest. All fabulous, Greg. Congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope it puts lots of butts in your chairs. Tell everybody what Amelinda's cuisine is like and how they can find your restaurant and make a reservation if they'd like to check out some of your amazing food.
Cool. So it does put a lot of butts in the chairs, so it makes me super happy. Also, real quick, before I tell anybody about us, I just want to throw this out there. When we get these nominations, it's not just a reflection of the work that I do, but it's a reflection of my entire team. So congrats to them, too, for working very hard. So we are a small, independent Spanish and Portuguese restaurant, we're inspired by Spain and Portugal. We're located at 315 East Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. We're open from 5 to 9, Wednesday through Saturday. And you can reach us by phone at 414-346-3469. I think I never called the restaurant. Or you can go to opentable.com and search for us. Or you can go to our website, amelinda.com.
And it is AMILINDA. I was trying to email you, Greg, and put the wrong
spelling. Yeah, we sent it AMA.
Yes.
You're not the only one.
Very embarrassing. Chef Greg, one of the things that I think is really amazing about the cuisine that you do is that it does pull from a Spanish and Portuguese inspirational point, but there is very much this cultural intersection that I feel when I eat your food, that it's coming not just from a Spanish and Portuguese inspiration, but that you're pulling from all kinds of different places and all the foods that you have eaten. And it's interesting, whenever I'm in your restaurant, there are all kinds of different folks in your restaurant. It is a very welcoming place. I have always believed, I call it the Last Supper theory, whether or not you are a Christian and believe in Jesus Christ, here's the deal. When they told an epic story that has survived for centuries, what was the linchpin of the story? That on the last time that he knew he was going to be with his friends, he sat down, broke bread, ate and drank together. Greg, how is food a cultural and intersectional experience for you and the guests that come to your restaurant? Do you feel food bringing people together?
These are hard-hitting questions. I wasn't prepared for this one. Yes, I mean, food does bring people together. You know, a lot of it has to do with the person itself or the culture they're coming from. There's religion involved. You know, I was extremely lucky that my mom's side of the family is Jewish and my dad's Latin from Venezuela. So those are two cultures that, you know, it's like you can't get three of us together and there not be food involved. So it's always been a thread through my life. Like, food's always been there. And it does bring people together. You know, when you celebrate a birthday, or you celebrate an anniversary, or you just want to catch up with a friend, what do you normally go do? You go to a restaurant and you go and eat. And we're glad that we can have a little space that people feel comfortable and love enough that they make it the center of their eating experience.
It's such a huge part of Wisconsin culture. I have never showed up at a friend's house empty-handed because that's how I was taught being from Wisconsin.
You show up empty-handed, you're rude.
Yeah, that's right. You got to bring both booze and food whenever you're visiting someone, not just one or the other. It's both got to check both boxes. And folks, if you're hearing a little background noise, that's because Greg is actually working. He is in his restaurant. I'm Melinda. While doing the interview, they're getting ready for dinner service. Greg, I wanted to ask you about a really special thing that you've got going on February 17th in your restaurant. It is your sixth year of celebrating what you call Tables Across Borders. I wanted to give you the chance, Greg, to tell people what that's all about.
Well, thank you. So Tables Across Borders is a program that started, I think it's like 2019. And my friend Kai Mishlov, who used to work with refugee agencies here in Milwaukee, contacted a mutual friend and she says, you know, I go to these people's houses to help them with stuff and there's always food and they're amazing cooks and I want Milwaukee to experience that. So do you think some chefs would want to work with me? So my friend Shay, he put us in contact. And so what it is we invite refugees, either ones that have just arrived or, you know, we've got a lady who's been here for years now. And they come to Amalinda on the night that we're normally closed. They do all the cooking. They prepare the food of their heritage. And then we sell tickets to the event. And then 100% of the money raised goes to the person cooking. So if they just got here, then they've got a little bit of extra cash and helps them, like, buy stuff for their apartment or their new home, or, you know, whatever they might do with the money. So it's been a fantastic experience, you know, for us to see how people cook in other countries and how they use maybe the same ingredient that we use in different ways. It's been amazing. For the guests, they get to eat something that they probably would have never gotten to eat. You know, on the 17th, we're welcoming Tahani back, and she is from Syria. And her story is pretty incredible. They spent many years in a refugee camp. This is, I think, her fourth time coming back to Aunt Melinda because her food is just so good. Like, there's good Middle Eastern food in Milwaukee, but this stuff is insane. So, you know, we get to eat some cool food. We get to learn a little bit, and then we get to help somebody else.
And that's what it's all about. Again, these opportunities that we have to learn about each other through food, right, are really special. And Tables Across Borders, I think, is the literal embodiment of that. Where can people sign up if they want to participate in Tables Across Borders this year? And again, folks, that's on February 17th. It will be at Amalinda in the 300 block of Wisconsin Avenue. How can they sign up and get involved?
So to sign up for the dinner, so first I would recommend everybody to go to amalinda.com and sign up for our newsletter. We're really responsible about our newsletters and we don't send them out all the time, only when we got important stuff to share with our guests. So you can do that. Follow us on Instagram at amalindamke, or you can follow me at Chef Greg Leon. They can go to Open Table, go to the website, search for Amalinda. And when our page comes up under the experience tab, you will see it listed. It's $75. That does not include tax or gratuity, but the food is well worth it. It is so good. And so there's going to be four this session. We're doing the first one. And as soon as things calm down a little bit, I'll get the other three up on the website.
So there's going to be three Tables Across Borders this year, folks, four total, in addition to the one that's coming up on February.
Let's get it right. Three plus one equals four.
Yes.
And two of them will be here at Amalinda. The other two will be at Trickle Bee Cafe, because Trickle Bee Cafe has also been a participant, and they will cook over there also. But all of the tickets will be on sale on Amalinda's Open Table page, even if the dinner is at another restaurant.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for that, Greg. Again, Tables Across Borders, the first dinner of 2025, kicking off on February 17th. Check out Amalinda, Amilinda, on Open Table if you would like to get involved. Greg, I wanted to ask you a question about folks when they're dining out. And I wanted to start with the challenge that I think people encounter sometimes. What happens if you order something and you don't like it? Like, you get adventurous, you try something new, and you don't care for it. What is the best course of action if somebody finds themselves in that position?
I am so glad you asked that question. Hopefully we can get this answer out to the masses. So whether you've gone to a restaurant and you ordered something and you just didn't like it because you were trying something new, or you just didn't like it because you didn't like the flavor profiles, or it wasn't prepared correctly. Always, always tell the people the server. The server will get the manager. Tell somebody why you are sitting in that chair. I, as a restaurant owner, my ultimate goal is for you to leave happy and to be like, okay, I spent $150 on dinner tonight, but it was well spent. And I want to come back and I like these people and the service was great and the food was great. But we're all human, and something that you might love, I might not like. So if you're having a bad time, just say something, because we ultimately are going to do whatever we can to make sure that when you walk out that door, at least if you're not leaving happy, at least you feel like you've been heard and you've tried. And it's so frustrating because, you know, we'll have people come in here and they'll try something and they didn't like it. But instead of saying something and letting us remake it or make them another dish, or I will take it off your bill. Like, the last thing I want is for you to pay for something you didn't like. They'll go online and then they'll leave a really crappy review. And, you know, what people need to understand is that review doesn't just affect me. It affects the people that work here. You know, you are messing with people's livelihood. So nobody's going to confront you. It's not going to be a fight at the table if you say something. You would rather you say something, because then we can try to make it better. But once you're out that door, it just looks like you want to complain.
Yeah, don't go online behind your keyboard. Let people make it right. I don't know any one of us that bats 1,000 in our jobs every day, right? And we all want the opportunity to try to fix it and make it right.
And it's funny that you should ask the question. We had somebody in here on Saturday.
Yeah.
Gentleman came in, showed up, was rude to the host because he wanted to sit at a counter. There was no spaces. He asked the host to work his magic. The host is not a magician, so he couldn't help him. So he finally sat down. He wanted the one entree that we had run out of, and it was like 8:15 by now. So we had run out of the steak. We sold like 30 of them that day. He wanted one. We're like, sorry, we have everything else. He ordered a bunch of food. He ordered a bottle of wine. The only thing we charged him for was a bottle of wine. He drank half the bottle of wine, didn't touch any of the food, and left. Him and his companion. The next day, pops up a one-star review, and he's just like, you know, ripping into us. But nowhere does he say, hey, they didn't charge me for any of the food. Hey, they only charged me for the wine. You know, all these other things that we tried to do. And he left us a one-star on food. So I did respond, and I said, you can't really say anything about our food because you didn't eat any of it. So.
Well, I will just say this. I was in there with some dear, dear friends of mine this past week, Gregory, when I knew that you were coming on the air, and I wanted to celebrate your amazing cuisine. I had something that I haven't had for years. I think since I was on the Iberian Peninsula, I had beef tongue. It was flipping great. I am a salad aficionado. I had your pear salad and the endive or endive, depending on who the heck you're talking to. And they both were fabulous. Thank you for an amazing, memorable meal. My three dinner companions, everyone was in the clean plate club. There wasn't a morsel left. Amazing service. Such a wonderful experience. So I'm going to leave you with this last question before we finish up today, Greg.
Sure.
When you have an amazing experience at a restaurant, what should someone do? Is it about the big tips? Do you tell someone? Do you need to go do the reviews? What should we be doing? Should we buy a round for the kitchen staff? What do we do?
Well, it depends on the restaurant, obviously. You don't have to buy us a round. I'm not a big drinker. We're more of the green family at this restaurant, if you understand.
Yes.
So a nice tip is always appreciated. The servers, you know, we'll always love that. And then online, if you have a really good experience, go online and just say something. Say, hey, this was great. Those are the two things. But you know what? The biggest thing you can do is come back and see us.
I can't wait to come back and see you and everyone at Amolinda. It was an amazing experience for me and all of my friends. And I think I'm going to talk them all into arranging their schedules so we can be there for Tables Across Borders.
Yay.
What an important event coming up on February 17th. My congratulations to you, Greg, and every single person that touches the food and helps make the experience what it is at Amolinda. You can check out Greg's restaurant. Just go to Open Table, search for Amolinda. That's Amilinda. Make a rezo. Check out the amazing Portuguese and Spanish inspired cuisine there. My best to you and everyone, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Take care, friend. When we come back, folks, I'm going to give you a little one to grow on and some words of inspiration from Tim Kaine. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have a big dinner. Have a light snack. If you don't like it, you can't send it back. Just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Should you go for dinner? I mean, obviously, go to Amalinda. My big thanks to my last guest, Greg Leone, executive chef and owner of a very small independent restaurant in downtown Milwaukee called Amalinda. Greg, nominated for National Outstanding Chef by the James Beard Foundation, his second year in a row for that nomination. I used that opportunity or his nomination for the catalyst to talk with Greg today for our installment of Over the Hump and Trump, because I do think food is one of those great connecting moments that can help bring us all together. And we need more of that, not less. It also comes in the great Wisconsin tradition of do not ever, no, not ever, show up to a friend's joint empty-handed. I know I never do. I wanted to end today's show with some sound from Tim Kaine. He was on the floor yesterday addressing Donald Trump's, enticement, bribe, maybe, if you want to, that he laid out for federal workers, which basically was like, resign and I'll pay you for the next 8 months and you don't have to work, which I would never rely on personally. And Tim Kaine took it up pretty directly. I thought we should take a listen. And then I'm going to give you my one to grow on and hopefully a word of hope and inspiration to leave us this afternoon. Let's take a listen to Senator Tim Kaine.
And they received an email that said, from the administration, if you tender your resignation by next Friday, we will guarantee you payment through the end of September, whether or not you show up for work. So tender your resignation, and then, boy, it's just going to be a gravy train. You're just going to get paid for 7 months without working. The president has no authority to make that offer. There's no budget line item to pay people who are not showing up for work. This is a guy who made this promise to contractors again and again and again when he was a private business guy. Oh, come work for me on my casino. Come work for me in a hotel. We're going to do a handshake. We're going to do a contract. The contractor does the work and then finds out they get stiffed. So my message to federal employees who receive this is, yeah, the president has tried to terrorize you for about a week and then gives you a little sweetheart offer. If you resign in the next week, we're just going to pay you for doing nothing for the next 7 months. Don't be fooled. He's tricked hundreds of people with that offer. If you accept that offer and resign, he'll stiff you just like he stiffed the contractors. He doesn't have any authority to do this. Do not be fooled by this guy. You were here before he was here, and you'll be here after he was here. Show up for work, be diligent, serve Americans every day, make their life better, answer their phone call, give them an answer, track down their constituent call. Don't be fooled by a fake offer that because he's terrorized you in the last week, it would be easy to just resign now and get a check for 7 months, because I can tell you that promise is worth nothing.
Folks, that was Tim Kaine addressing Donald Trump's offer. I guess we can call it an offer that he has no power, authority, or budgetary appropriation to, you know, pay federal workers who resign for 8 months for doing nothing. This is not a thing. But where Tim Kaine got by the end of his, I don't know, appeal to federal employees is where I want to leave us all today. If you've been listening to the show for some time, you know that I served a federal appeals court judge as his elbow clerk, a two-time Reagan-appointed Article III judge. I was an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee for many years. I then helped run the city of Milwaukee's 401k plan. It's a 453B or a 457 plan when you're in the public sector, but most people know it as a 401k plan. I then spent nearly 8 years as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer. So I've spent a long time in public service. So there's two things I want to leave everybody with this afternoon. And the first is a plea to all of my fellow public servants, those of you who show up every day in good faith, who take the oaths, if you took one, very seriously to serve the American people, who do their jobs without letting their personal political beliefs get in the way of doing their jobs, who truly are public servants, those who serve you and me and every resident and citizen of the jurisdiction that they work for. And I want to start by saying to you, please keep going. There are far more of you than there are of people willing to sell their good name, their professionalism, and their honor to the highest bidder or the bidder who may never pay, simply for more attention or power. Please keep going. And to all of you listening who may have served the public sector in any form and who continue to do so today, I want to say thank you. Your service is appreciated, and it is more necessary now than ever. Last, I want to say to all of us, please have faith. The good public servants at every level of government, I promise you, will continue to do their good work as they have for many years. And while we can always do better to be more efficient and more effective, to improve our programs and processes, the people, the human beings, your neighbors and friends and family members who work in these jobs will do it best. So take heart, Wisconsin and America. The good public servants, they're at the job.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will break down the litany of executive orders and memos. Also, what are your rights as a U.S. citizen if you get nabbed by ICE? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. The American Airlines regional jet was on approach for landing at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport when it was hit by a military helicopter.
Did you see that?
You can hear in the audio from liveatc.net the shock of the air traffic controllers as the Army Black Hawk slammed into the jet. American Airlines said more than 60 people were on board the D.C.-bound plane from Wichita, Kansas. The Army says three soldiers were on the Black Hawk. At the time of the crash, the water was 36 degrees, and rescuers needed special ice suits.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Rescue efforts continue.
Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, he was just sworn in a few hours ago. He has now released a statement saying that he's on the site at FAA headquarters, that he's closely monitoring